Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study in the Word of God and our worship and song and prayer. And we got a very good report to go on Slam Camp. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Larry, while you're back there, somebody turn on the light right there, please. There you go. Yes. No, there you go. Oh, she's found power. All of them on. There you go. Thank you. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer to orient ourselves as to why we're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this humble assembly, the wonderful opportunity that we have to worship you and to fulfill the purpose of spreading the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. All right, James, what are we going to sing?
We'll sing all 7 verses.
What page?
Like a River Glorious, number 208.
James, thank you, Wes. Thank you all. We have a lot to cover, so let's go through some of the prayer requests and prayer things we've got to cover this morning. Of course, we want to be in prayer for Thomas. How's Thomas doing?
Doing well.
How's he doing in school?
Good.
Good, okay. All right, very good. The thing about it, though, we have to be careful with anything he might get.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Yeah, but that's why we're
it may not be an issue at all for somebody else, but for him, we got to be very careful. So let's be in prayer about that. Yes. Mackenzie, oh, where was she? She was here.
She disappeared. She's in the restroom. I think we're sending back her heart monitor this week.
Okay.
Have a doctor's appointment just to kind of follow up. Probably do a second EKG, another EKG, the first week of May.
Okay. So she's doing okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, very good. All right, let's see. As far as any other prayer requests, do we have anything that need to be made aware of this morning? Yes.
It's concerning the MRI I had taken last Thursday. Just like the prayer request is that it be read correctly and in keeping with God's plan.
Okay, very good. Are they going to do a follow-up? Okay. Oh, man, they did, and then that one turned out okay, so that's why I asked that. All right, any other prayer requests we need to be aware of? Please be in prayer for each other. People, we're all in the spiritual. There's Mackenzie. We all need to be in prayer for one another. We're all in the battle, and therefore we need to be in prayer for one another. Please be in prayer for Jim Young. Please be in prayer for Judith's brother, Ronnie, as he continues to recover from the stem cell procedure he had. Any other requests? Okay. Now, this morning, Chris is going to do a presentation on Slam Camp, and I guess we're going to talk a little bit about summer.
Yep.
All right. And what we're going to do, I will announce it before, the Sunday before, but we're going to take up two special offerings, one in May and then one the beginning of June. And that will be specifically for the youth camp. And so we'll know that, but just want you to be aware of that, that we're going to take up two special offerings. Is that okay? Okay, two special offerings for it. But people, please be in prayer, and I think you'll be able to see why you need to be in prayer and for what when Chris Day gives his presentation. So for right now, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you do not desire to us to give begrudgingly or under duress. We are to give freely, deliberately, willfully, for the support of the spreading of the gospel, relating the material world to the eternal with our offerings. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you will receive these offerings, that you will continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel in so many different ways that you've given to us right here in our own home, on the internet, and Heavenly Father, through our young people and missionary outreach. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.
Okay, we're on. Okay. It's my pleasure and honor to stand up before you this morning and tell you a little bit about Slam Camp. There are a lot of people that are in our congregation that are involved with making it happen. There's a lot of people that are outside of our congregation that are also involved in making it happen. And I just wanted to spend a little bit of time this morning telling you a little bit about the absolutely amazing weekend that we had with our teenagers. most of them were teenagers, or right in that area. They were 7th graders to 12th graders. We had college students that came back for the weekend. We had folks come in from, Lori's family came in from Oklahoma on multiple weekends to be a part. We had, this was Ed's first adventure with our youth group, which was pretty amazing. I'll let Ed actually give his opinion here in a minute. It's positive, right? Okay, just checking. Okay, then I will let Ed actually give his opinion here in a minute. And if you would, please bow your heads in prayer, and we'll start with that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning to just remember the awesome things that happened at Slam Camp, to share them with the congregation that provides so much support. Father, we know that you are ultimately the provider of all things, and that you have continued to bless this ministry in its numbers, in its conversations, in its theology that we're teaching these kids, and in just getting the staff and the volunteers and the prayers and the financial support. God, you provide all things, and it is just amazing to see what you've done with a small congregation and the impact it's having on not only the kids, but the families of these kids and all of North Texas and all of the United States and all of the world as we continue to spread the gospel of your Son. Thank you, Father, for who you are and what you do for us in all things. In Christ's name, amen. So I'd like to start with a song that we sang up at camp, and we'll just kind of roll right into the program or the update right after that. So if you would all join me and stand, we actually put the lyrics on the board. So you can stand and sing with us. This is kind of the overview of what the weekend was about.
Coming back again.
difficulties there on the I'll put it up there. So Ben is our new technical guy. And in fairness to Ben, I woke him up this morning at 9 and said, "Hey, you got to get all this together before 9:30 when we leave." But he's done a great job, because I had a moment of panic somewhere around when I turned my computer on and it was updating its latest operating system. I'm like, "Oh, this is bad." But thank you. We'll try another one here in a minute and see if it connects better with the technology. But I want to tell you all a little bit about the program at SLAM, because the way it works, different than summer camp. So summer camp is, hey, bring one, bring all. Let's get folks to show up and have a great time, and we study and we teach and we enjoy, and it's an amazing experience. SLAM camp is servant leadership and missions. And so we take the 7th to 12th graders, and they actually put together the program. So over the course of a month before we go to SLAM, the young people get together and we break them up into families. We had about 27 or so young people that came with us this time, and we broke them up into three families, and the three families had an assignment, and the assignment was build a presentation or build a message and come up with an activity. You've got an hour and a half of time during the weekend, and then we're going to fold this into the weekend, but that gives them a responsibility and an opportunity to get together and discuss things ahead of time and get to know each other. One of the things we find at summer camp is it takes about until about Tuesday afternoon, maybe Wednesday morning, for the barriers to start to come down. Right, and when the barriers come down for the kids, they get out of everything has to be cool, and they start getting into everything that's going on, which is really cool. Well, we try to do that ahead of time going into SLAM, so they get to know each other, they start to feel safe with each other, and all of a sudden you start seeing some of the most amazing conversations, and the desire to learn and the desire to be a part, and the engagement with what we're doing is taken to a whole other level. So when we get to the actual weekend, they've got a background on what we're talking about. They've had lots of conversations about it. They're excited about presenting together. And we just started to fold a bunch of stuff together. The college students came up and got to be a part of it. So they joined into these families. They were split up with the groups. We had our staff here that were part of our congregation that all kind of led this thing, and we kind of take a step back and give them direction and let them do it. And it's just really cool to see what comes out of the weekend as we're going in, and then what ultimately comes out of the weekend. So the three questions we assigned to each family got one question. These weren't your, "Oh, okay, who was it that, you know, spent the nights in the whale?" kind of questions, right? "Oh, you know, David." No. These were questions. Here's the questions we gave them. "What do you believe?" Okay, how many of us have actually stopped in the last 5 years, sat down and spent 3 weekends or a month thinking about exactly what is it that I believe? What do we believe? The next question is, "Why do you believe it?" Okay, I'll have a follow-on question. How many of us have spent in the last 5 years, 3 weekends or 4 weekends over the course of a month, and sat down and contemplated, "Why do I believe this?" And then the last question, which was the theme, was, "How are you going to defend your faith? How is it that you're going to defend your faith?" And so it was pretty awesome to see the things, the discussions and things that went on. So if you would, please open, this is our theme for the weekend. Would you open 1 Peter 3? This is our verse for the weekend. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. And it says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And so we spent that's where we started. And the three questions that came out of this is what do you believe, why do you believe it, and how will you defend your faith? Because if you don't know what you believe, you can't stand firm in what you, you know, in your beliefs. If you don't know what you believe, you can't defend why you believe it. And so it was really cool to hear the kind of conversations that were going on. We put together a little pamphlet for them. And in the front of the pamphlet, and if you guys want a copy, we have a few copies that we could probably find. Or if you want a copy, we can get some more made. But it went through, and for each of these questions, what do you believe? And then we went through a series of verses. For, you know, John 6, 28 and 29. Therefore, they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. What do you believe? John 6, 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. John 6, 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And so, over the weekend, each of the groups got to put together their presentations. And they took those verses for the first group, and they expanded upon those, and they put together conversations, and we broke up into smaller groups, and we had discussions. And I think we calculated it. This is going to blow you all away. In fact, Herman, maybe you shouldn't listen to this because you're going to reset all your expectations for Sunday services. On Saturday, we had a group of 27 high schoolers and junior high schoolers, and we spent 5 hours on Saturday opening the Bible and discussing and having conversation. Now, we had a blast in between, too. So we did crazy stuff where we were throwing balls around and skipping rope and literally and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But other than the occasional kid who stayed up too late the night before and their head hit the ground as we were sitting around trying to talk, there was no complaining about the fact that we were in Bible study for 5 hours. We didn't set it up for 5 hours. Phil, how much time did I give you?
30 minutes.
Right. Right, so the schedule that we put together, and in fairness to Phil, I said, don't take too long, man, because they'll be worn out. We had two Bible classes that Phil put together on Saturday and one on Sunday. But on Saturday, he had an hour's total of an hour of his time, and I think he only took like 45 minutes, and then we broke up into multiple conversations. And so in Bible study sit-down class, we had an hour and a half. In conversation, open the Bible and discuss amongst ourselves and get back and report out and present and do these things together as a group of youth. We had 5 hours. And it was awesome. It blew me away, and I think it blew, if you ask any of the staff, it blew us all away. So that's what we did. That's what we do up there. We have a great time. We eat together, we fellowship together, we have loud music, we stay up too late, we play pranks on each other, and so, yeah, we get to act like fools as well, but the amount of learning that goes on is quite incredible, and it can only happen through, one, the filling of the Spirit, and two, the power of God in that place with us all together. And so, I want to tell you about one thing, just quickly. We had a challenge. Every time we take off, we leave on a Friday night, and we all jump into cars, and the Plano kids and group that's up near the Plano area, and then we've got a Wiley group that leaves out of Wiley, and we converge on Terrell, Texas. I don't think Terrell, Texas knows what hits them every time we go down there. But we give them the cars a challenge. So each of the cars gets a challenge, and this year the challenge was we need you to meet somebody that you've never met before on the way down, because we meet at CC's and have pizza before we get down to the weekend. And so we stopped at Walmart. Our group stopped at Walmart, and some of the Plano kids were in CC's ahead of us. And the questions that the challenge that we gave to all of the cars was, everybody in the car, group up in a group of two or three kids, and take off into Walmart. There, in and of itself, is a bit of faith on our part. go into Walmart or go into CC's or stop at a gas station, and everybody needs to ask one person that they've never met before two questions. Tell them you're taking a survey, you're on a youth retreat, and we're going to go down, and we're just asking some questions on our way down. And the question was, what happens when you die, and how will you defend? I'm sorry, I looked at the wrong one. And why do you believe that? What happens when you die? Just two simple questions. We're not trying to give anybody the gospel. We're not trying to corner them. Although we did end up giving the gospel, and we did not corner them. We did end up giving them the gospel. We did give them the gospel. We didn't corner them. All right, maybe a little. But it's what happens when you die, and why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? And so I know I'm kind of putting a couple people on the spot, but I'm going to ask Ben and Mackenzie. Just tell me what it felt like, and what happened when you did this. So, Mackenzie, do you mind just? I'm not trying to put you on the spot and ask you any theology here. Just what was it like to ask those questions, and what did you find? What you were finding in response? Yeah, can you?
Well, me and two of my friends, we paired up, so it was three of us, and we went to CC's, and, like, we were trying to find a person that didn't look like they were going to punch us when we asked them. So we were, like, and then people kept taking our people, because we were, like, okay, that person looks normal, and then they would, like, take them, dang it, we have to find someone else. And so finally we found this kid that was a bus boy at CC's, and he was probably our age, he was, like, 17. So we went up to him, we asked him, and, like, we kept pushing each other in front of us, like, hey, you know, you ask him, and then I'll just stand there behind you. And it took us about 5 minutes to finally, one of my friends, like, she was like, hey, so what do you believe, or where do you believe you're going when you die? And then he said, I don't know. And then we were like, okay. And then we just kind of, like, stared at him, and he stared at us, and we were like, and then my friend was like, it's okay, like, it's fine. And then we told her, we're like, we're on a retreat for our church, and this is what we believe, so why do you believe what you believe? And then he was like, I mean, I don't know, there's just so much that could happen, I guess I never really thought about it. So at least, and then, like, I don't think he really got what we said to him, but we definitely, because when he was walking by, we got past him and kind of, like, was scared of us, so he went down. But we got him thinking. So, like, we were all, like, we were eating a couple minutes later, and we were like, at least we got him thinking about what he said, because it obviously, like, you could tell that he was like, okay, wow, like, what they believe is obviously something important, so I should. So he was definitely, like, thinking about what we said, so that's what he
was. Awesome. Was it nerve-wracking?
Yeah.
Ben, what about you? What was your experience? Stand up and okay. Talk to the audience, if you would, please.
Well, so me and my cousin paired up, and we walked into Walmart. We walked around for like 5 minutes looking for someone to talk to. Just kept walking in circles trying to find someone. And then finally, I like pushed my cousin into someone. And he walked up to him and he said, well, where do you think you're going when you die? And they said, I think I'm going to heaven. And then he said, why do you believe that? And the guy said back, because I accepted Jesus into my heart. And that was really cool, so we thanked that guy, kept walking. And then, so I walked in circles again, trying to find someone to talk to. And I found this lady looking through the toy aisle, and I walked up to her and asked, where do you think you're going when you die? She said, I think I'm going to heaven. And I said, why do you believe that? And she said, because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And then I just had a conversation with her for a little bit. I was like, well, she said that she's actually the wife of a pastor.
Oh,
I am terrible. And that was really cool, just to know that there were other people. Like, there were a lot of people that knew they were going to heaven when they died.
All right. Was it a bit nerve-wracking?
Yeah, it was really nerve-wracking.
So, if you want to go meet people who are saved, go to Walmart. If you're not sure and you actually want to get some evangelism, then go to CC's. I want to give Lori and Larry a chance to tell what they observed, because they kind of saw maybe two different things, or maybe the same thing, but I'll let you guys explain it. Go ahead.
That Phil, when he got the car challenge, he said, but I don't have any kids in my car, right?
Oh, I handed him a piece of the paper, and I'm being really honest. I handed him the envelope. I said, okay, well, here's your car challenge. She goes, oh, I have any kids. I don't need to do it. Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, all the adults did it, too.
And they were
just as nerve-wracking.
Yeah, Pam and Ed, everybody was like, why do we have to do this? But Phil, you had a really good, tell them what happened.
Well, I had I'm going to Walmart and I'm looking around, and I see they had already been in. I came in after they did, and I see a woman that's just opening up her register. She's coming on shift, you know. So I figured she was fresh candidate. I go over to her, and I was checking out, and I was buying a jacket. I said, yeah, we're going camping. I forgot to bring a jacket. And she said, oh, where are y'all going? And I told her it was a youth group camp. And I said, actually, they've been running around the store taking the survey. I said, they're asking people, where do you think it's going to happen when you die? And she looked around and she looked this way. And she said, we're not allowed to talk about that. I talked to her for a little bit more, and as I started to leave, she said, well, you have a good trip. And I said, I hope you do too, wherever you're going. it was an awesome experience. And, you know, you think, you know, like you have groups that go out and knock on doors and stuff, and their idea is to nail you down and get a profession of faith out of you on the spot. But this was so awesome, because, like Mackenzie said, started that guy thinking, you know. And it's not our job; it's God, the Holy Spirit's job. And we get put ourselves in. You know, he gave me that opportunity. She asked me where I was going and things like that. You know, and nobody fell on their knees and accepted Jesus Christ on the spot. But these are a lot of people that got the information. Or at least got the question in their head that they have a final destination and they need to be concerned about. Yeah. it was a great exercise.
One of the things that I think I summarized, and I also asked the question to somebody, they also said, because I accepted Jesus into my heart, that was their answer, and I was like, okay, thank you, have a great day. But I think at the end of the time, when we went around the room with the youth group and they all shared what each of them had experienced, number one, we were all frightened to do it. All of us. There wasn't one of us who wasn't nervous about doing this. So I think that sharing that made it okay for everybody. The other thing was, in our small groups, we had the majority of, I would say, Chris, maybe I'm wrong, but 50% of the people had no idea or had it a little off, and maybe 50% of the people understood that Christ was their Savior. Maybe, somewhere in there. And what we surmised in our small group, I had one of our youth people say, I can't imagine living my life without knowing that Christ was my Savior and that I was going to heaven when I died. She said it was hard to imagine what that would feel like, living my entire life not having that sense of security. And for that reason, and that reason alone, she felt convicted to share her faith with more people.
Lori, do you have anything to add?
Just the two people that my sister and I talked to. The first one said absolutely no question, and she was an employee there, that, you know, Jesus Christ was her Savior. She knew exactly where she was going, and she gave us a huge hug and said, I've been so discouraged and where I'm going. I just left home, college, working, trying to figure it all out. And she said, I know that God sent you guys here to just encourage me. So that was very awesome, because that encouraged us too. The other one we talked about Jesus, that she said, but I do good things. I do very good things. I don't do bad things. That's what I taught my children. And so we were able to talk to her for 5 or 10 minutes. I think everyone else was out in the parking lot. But there was an opportunity to share with her. She knew about Jesus being God's son and dying on the cross, but in her mind, that wasn't what was saving her. It was the good things that she was doing. So like Larry said, and Larry brought that up, and I really reflected on that. There were people that kind of mentioned that the gospel wasn't straight, you know, with so many of them. I think if the kids were able to see that.
So we had some pretty awesome conversations, some of them pretty deep. It was also really cool because we had three of our previous staff that couldn't make it. Actually made four. Sorry, no, I was going through my head. There were four of our previous staff that had made videos for us, and so we played those throughout the weekend, and we asked them those questions. Hey, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? And how do you defend your faith? And they talked to the kids. So you guys remember Amanda Rackenrode? She's in Spain. Well, she did a video and talked about what she's observing in Spain and sent this to us, and we got to play it for the kids. And then we had Dalton made one up in Indiana. And so we had Fastlane Carey, who made one as well. And then Kelly Klein also made one, and she's up in Colorado. So we got perspectives from all different places, and it was amazing to hear Amanda talking about what's going on in Spain. And I mean, you want to talk about some very interesting conversations that Amanda is having and some challenges she's having over there. Pray for Amanda McEnroe. Pray for all of these young people, especially the ones that are off in long away from home and stuff, to make sure that they have that strength and power that God can provide them in this battle. And it is a battle. It's a battle every single day. The last couple of folks I'd like to have just kind of touch base. So Phil did all the teaching for us. I should say, Phil did the Bible study teaching. The kids actually did a majority of the teaching for us. But Phil did the teaching in the Bible studies. And of those three questions, Phil, would you share with them what were the three answers that you taught everybody?
It was great because, you know, in preparing I a lot of verses and categorized, you know, Chris and I had talked about we wanted to talk about what we believe, and originally we had said we were going to talk about the Bible and plan of God and the work of Christ and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and I had gotten verses, and as I studied, I was like, I just lacked a homiletic you know, point to really kind of bring all of these things together. And even going into it, I felt kind of unprepared myself, even though I had done a lot of the Bible work and Bible verses. And the challenge gave us the answer to the first question. What do you believe?
Going
to heaven. We believe we're going to heaven. And, you know, like the song, you know, I believe in the Father, I believe. There's a lot of things that we believe, right? And finding that one thing that to hang on for camp was it was just so great. That boom, there it is, last minute, thanks a lot. But you know, we get the answer to that question. We believe we're going to heaven. And the next question was, why do you believe that? And, and I was thinking, you know, okay, I got question number one down. Great. What's answer question number two? Lori comes up to me and says, you know, Phil, next week is Easter, and we haven't really thought about that. You know, what, is there anything we can do about Easter coming up? And I said, well, yes, there is. The answer to the second question is?
The resurrection.
The resurrection. We have the assurance of our salvation. We know that what we believe is correct. Because of the power of the resurrection. And so we got a little Easter message in there. and then the final question, how are we going to defend our faith? Got you remember?
Filling of the Spirit.
Yeah, by the power of the Spirit. And looked at the verse in Matthew that God, when you're brought before the magistrates and princes and asked to defend what you believe, God the Holy Spirit at that time is going to give you the words to say. He certainly did that for me in this case. But it was just a marvelous exercise, the whole thing, all the questions that came together, and the verses that these guys had, they'd done a phenomenal job of examining them and continue to do a phenomenal job of all the verses that we came up with. I assigned them verses, and they looked at them. Alex had a pocket concordance about that big. Man, he was working that thing. He could work a tool like that. And it was just a phenomenal Bible study time and faith building time for both the staff and the children.
It's pretty awesome. And so, great stuff. Ed, this was your first experience with the adventure, as I like to say, of our youth group. Give me, what was your opinion of the whole thing?
Kind of being the new guy. it was impressive. Phil did a great job teaching. Looking at these guys, they've been doing this for years and stuff. The thing that I wanted to do is throw my hat in, and I would encourage you guys, if you've never participated, I would encourage you to do so, to be involved with the young people for that one weekend. Not only do you see the encouragement of our future generation, and like Chris said, I mean, to see these young people, when we broke down into the family units and have them discuss and look in and find the scripture, it was encouraging. But the other thing is, you know, you come in, week out, and you don't really get to know your fellow believers. When you're in a setting like this, it's a great opportunity not only to see the kids and see them in action, but also you get to get closer to other members of the congregation. So it was a great, I enjoyed it, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of it.
Absolutely. So glad you were there. So there were so many people that were involved in making it all happen. And everybody in here, between prayers, financial support, physically being there, just donating things, whatever the case might be, you're all a part of it, and it's pretty amazing. We're going to show a slideshow here real quick, and then I'm going to finish up with a couple of things. I want to give you an update on where we are for summer camp. And then we'll sing one last hymn. Hopefully it'll work this time a little better, right? We're going to try. I moved it up here so maybe the Bluetooth will connect better. So enjoy the slideshow here real quick, and then we'll wrap things up. Thank you.
name.
Okay. So, pretty amazing weekend, all in. In closing, I want to give you an update on where we are with camp. But in context, we're going to finish with a hymn that I think is appropriate. But I want to give you a little bit of context on the impact that this youth ministry is having. And this isn't me, and it isn't the staff, and it isn't our congregation, but it is the power that God has given us through the filling of the Spirit, and He uses us as tools. I am humbled and honored to be able to stand before this congregation and tell you this little piece of information, not because it's glorifying to me in any way at all, but because it's glorifying to God in the power that He has through all of us. So we do our youth ministry in Plano. It's on Wednesday night. And I get to teach with some of the sophomores. And Larry teaches and Pam teaches with some of the younger group over there. And then Lori does a lot of the teaching over on Thursday night in Wiley. And I think all in there's maybe, I don't know, probably 30 to 40 kids that come sporadically. I would say in the neighborhood of 25 kids or so that are there almost every week. And I was driving over today and on the way to church, and I started going through some of the stories and the folks that are in our youth group. And there's one young lady who's on the slam pictures. Actually, a lot of them are in the slam pictures, but one that I was thinking about, she lost her mom a year ago, and she lives with her aunt. She don't have two nickels to rub together, but she gets to be involved with our youth group and be a part of the slam camp and summer camp. And it, the weekend, or this is the period of time that she lost her mother a year ago. And that weekend, she was lit up like an angel. For the whole weekend, she was just, it was amazing. I don't know, I know her aunt is very much based in the church and in Christ, and she's pushing very hard to help this young lady stay on the right track, and I think we're a part of that. There are at least three kids, maybe four kids, in our youth group whose parents have nothing to do with church. Nothing. In fact, some of them are there's a little animosity towards it, but their parents allow them to come to our youth group on Thursday night. There's some kids in the Plano youth group whose parents, I mean, look, we all have problems, so this is not a judgment on any of the parents. Everybody's world is upside down at some point in time in their lives. But there are kids whose parents are just absolutely don't want to have anything to do with it, don't care, have no idea what we teach. Honest to goodness, I'd put probably 80% of the parents whose kids show up at our youth group have no idea what we teach. But we teach sound doctrine. And we teach them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know without a doubt in my mind that all those kids have heard very clearly the gospel, and a majority of them have been saved. And they're out there teaching their parents. We've got a kid whose dad lost his mom when he was a little kid, and he has been angry at God ever since. And this young man goes and talks to his mom and his sister and his dad about Jesus all the time. And it is powerful. I would never be able to have that impact on the father. I know him. He's a friend. I would consider him a friend. I'd never have that impact on him that his son is. There's no question in my mind. His son's going to get through to him. The Holy Spirit will continue to convict his soul. Great kid. Great family. There's kids whose family's situations are absolutely in a mess, and they show up every Thursday night or Wednesday night, and we teach them the Word of God. I had the most amazing conversation with the Plano kids the other day, and I use that only in geography, not in separating the groups, by the way. But we were talking about, Herman, what you've been teaching. It's two sides of the equation. And I asked them the question, so if Christ died on the cross, for all of our sins, why doesn't everybody go to heaven? All the sins are paid for. There is no issue between us and God. And didn't we have the 30... Oh, you weren't there, Mackenzie. I'm sorry. You were at a dance thing. Yeah, so... sorry, Mackenzie. I'll put you on the spot again. That's twice in one morning. But then we got into the two sides of the equation. And understanding that you've got to have the righteousness of God. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sins are paid for, people. It has nothing to do with sin between our relationship, our eternal relationship with God. Christ took care of all of it. It's done. It's over. The negative righteousness is gone. But the question is, do you believe? And if the believing of God and believing in Christ is your Savior, God imputes in us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our righteousness. When God looks down from above and says, who is worthy to be with me? He sees His righteousness, not ours. We can't be good enough. But until we believe, we don't receive that righteousness. And so I ask the question, because we have some of these kids who go to a Catholic church, and I don't ever put these guys on the spot. I just ask the blanket question, because I don't know what the Catholic church teaches. Never been in a Catholic church. Well, okay, a couple of weddings, a couple of funerals. I have no idea what they said. So I don't try to pick out any group. I just ask the question, hey, how can you be good enough before God? You can't be good enough before God because you don't have God in you unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you have, it's over. You've got it. Now, is there a situation with sin and do we have to be accountable for sin? Yeah, there are consequences to sin, but not for eternity. Unless the only sin that's a consequence for us in eternity is whether or not we believed. If we don't believe, that's calling the Holy Spirit a liar. That's blasphemous, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and we're out. All you got to do is believe. Man, we talked about this for 30 minutes. And I mean, the questions were... I know when that group is engaged, because they ask me some really hard questions. When they're not engaged, they kind of giggle at each other, and I don't know what they're talking about. So... But I wanted to put that into perspective because I'm getting ready to tell you the financial situation. We're in good shape, but I want to make sure that you understand. And one other thing I want to talk to you about, which is, and this will literally take just a second of time, but I also want to talk about where you can help as far as summer camp and the needs that we have there.
Two things on that exact note that you said about the impact that these kids are having in their own families. We have one girl who came to us this year just because she needed a ride home occasionally. And she was like, oh, you know, other kids were coming to our house. I'm like, why don't you come to our house, right, and ask her to come? So she tells us, well, I don't know if I can come. My dad, I don't know what he believes about Christ because he's told me he, you know, kind of believes in nothing, what she said. He believes in nothing. And, you know, how, because he said if all the people that believe in Christ are right, then the other 50% of the world is wrong. And the people that believe that there is no Christ are right, then the Christians are all wrong. So he just pretty much believes in nothing, is what she tells me. She goes, but I think my mom believes, so she'd be all right with me coming. And the parents are divorced. So I said, well, ask him. Or they were separated. They're getting back together. But she said, I said, well, ask them. And then here's my number, and I'd be happy to talk to him if they... So they let her come after about three times of it. She really wanted to come. She gets there. She's been coming for about a month. This girl texts me. She heard me say to the kids, I will buy you a Bible if you don't have one. Just let me know if you don't have one. I'd like you to bring your Bibles because that's my inspiration to go find your Bible and bring it next time or I'm buying you one. Anyway, so she goes home and she texts me, Mrs. Wise, my dad would like to know what kind of Bibles you're using because he would like to buy them for the class. Oh. And she takes a picture yesterday and sends me three New American Standard Bibles. So that's one. Two was there's another new girl that started coming to our class, and she has been so involved. And these are all this grade now. You know, I'm working on this grade. So this grade is growing, and this mom walks into my house. I don't have my glasses on, so I don't even realize that there's a new person in my house. I'm very embarrassed. I'm like, oh, hi, and then I'm like, and so I stand up. She's like coming to the kitchen table. So I introduce myself, and she says, well, I've been dropping my daughter off here for 3 weeks. I thought I should come inside and see who you are. And so she comes in, and I explain to her from A to Z what we teach, exactly what the gospel is. It was very, very clear. what we do there every Wednesday night, how involved her kid has been contributing, and then we would love to have her come to camp. They go to St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, you know what I mean? But she heard everything that I had to say and was looking for a place for her daughter to be able to enjoy her spirituality and has found a home at our house. So it's huge.
Yes.
Zach's dad actually was saved.
Yeah. So, awesome. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah, that's a good one. That's where I'm going to sing that in a second. So, where we are financially, with the chili cook-off falling through this year because of the weather, and I don't know where we came in with flowers.
$1,230.
Okay. Sorry. On. Okay. The chili cook-off fell through. That cost us a little bit. So we are running, as far as what we expected to bring in versus what we laid out, about $2,000 behind for so far for the year. We had... Yeah, but we kind of, that's budgeted into the future. That's about where we expected to come in there. So we're about $2,000 behind. We did have a good amount of transfer over year over year. We kept an under budget last year. So we are not in financial trouble in any way whatsoever. We are doing very well. We have a nice buffer. I would like to be able to keep that buffer at the end of the year when we get through all of these things. So. I didn't want to take away from the part where you have to come in and tell them we're in trouble. Obviously, any financial gifts are appreciated, and I wanted to lay it out as clearly as possible, all the amazing things that are going on. God always provides. I never worry about the money one way or another. It costs to do this stuff. It always ends up coming in, and you guys as a congregation have been amazing financially. So that's where we are with that. We're going to take a couple of special offerings in May and June, and so you know where we are with that. The other thing that male counselors, we are doing well in starting to get more of our staff coming in back from last year. Confirmations there. We expect to get all of the confirmations and everything by May 15th. We know we are still need in the kitchen. Okay, so if you can't come the whole time, but you want to participate for a couple of days in the kitchen, any of our counselors we require that they're there the whole time for continuity for the kids, because there's nothing worse than changing a counselor halfway through the week because you got to get to know them again. But on the kitchen staff, we do have a need for a few more people in the kitchen staff just so that they don't work themselves to death. It's hard enough when you're fully staffed. It's really hard when you're understaffed. And then we have a need for some male counselors right now. And then anybody who has participated in the past, if you are planning on coming back, please let us know as soon as possible so that we can know how hard we need to recruit in some other areas. So May 15th is the deadline for staff apps. A note will be going out today to anybody who's participated in the past if you haven't already seen it. And then we'll go from there. So is there anything else we need to add? Herman, I know I told you it was going to take 15 minutes, but I missed. Yes, ma'am. So we are somewhere between 40 and 50. Does anybody know the exact number?
Well, we're easily over 50 because you and I both have about 10 in our hands that we haven't in our
Yes.
We're over 50 right now.
So we put the camper app out right before we went to Slam Camp. So it's the end of March, and we're less than a month in, and we've already got over 50. And this will tell me I never need to put my work phone on the application again, because I'll be sitting at the office and my phone will ring. I'm like, I don't know who this is, so I'll pick it up. And I've gotten multiple phone calls from campers in the middle of the day saying, "Are you full? Are you full?" Excuse me, boss. No, we're not full. We have room. So, note to self: don't do that. There's no question in my mind. We are gonna top out at probably 110 kids again this year. That's the max. We will probably have to turn some kids away this year.
strictly because of the fact that we are physically, we'll be out of space. There's only so many bunks. We'll squeeze everywhere we can to get anybody. We've never turned a kid away, so hopefully this won't be the year that we have to start, but we'll definitely need to take a look at it. Fourth grade through 12th grade are campers, and then we have college going into fourth, going into 12th. All right, and once they go, once they graduate from high school, we bring them back as staff. So we have some kids coming back as staff that are be recent grads, and then we have some college kids that'll be coming back as well to be staff. So that's the fun part, is watching these kids come back and be a part of running this thing. That's the at some point in time I'll get to retire view.
Where they go to get an app online?
Yes. So we have a cool website. Thank you, Rick, for keeping that up for us. It's libertyyouthcamp.com. Spell out just libertyyouthcamp.com. And then there's different pages in there.
What's the tab for the app? It says registration.
Registration.
Registration. Yep. But the staff app isn't on there, right?
It will be. I just haven't got it to Rick to upload yet.
And we'll email the staff app out to all the previous.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you want one, let us know. We have our printers running as fast and furious as the kids come over and ask for applications as well. It's cool because we're going to have another 50% of these kids that come in we will have never seen before. They just keep showing. Every year I'm looking around going, who are you? I've never seen you before. Mm-hmm. And they just keep inviting their friends and bringing more friends. And at some point, they're either going to have to make TYC bigger or we're going to have to find something else to do. So, but for right now, God has taken care of it, so we'll go from there. Any questions from y'all? We're going to close with a hymn that kind of puts it all into perspective. I don't need anybody to actually play it. We'll put it right up here, and hopefully it'll connect this time. Just don't put your hands around the computer. Cool? You ready? All right, will you turn off the lights and enjoy this with us, if you would.
I'm overwhelmed.
Father, we thank you for this time together to enjoy the kids and watching the fruits of the labor that you've given to all of us, the good works. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide our ministry, continue to guide these young people, to continue to guide the staff, and to encourage all of us to want to be a part of raising up the next generation of believers, of evangelists, of missionaries, of people that will go out into the world and just continue the Great Commission. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are the most glorious. You are the most wonderful. You are the most beautiful. We are humbled before you, Father, in all the things that you do for us. And in Christ's name, amen.
We'll be seated just for a few moments. No, all you have to do is change the dates. And now next Sunday, be very important Sunday here, Fassel and his wife, Fassel will be here. He is the Bible teacher, missionary in Pakistan. And if you've been keeping up with the news, there is a great deal going on in Pakistan against Christianity. So we need to be updated from Fassel in regard to what's going on in Pakistan. And now as far as your notes, you can take them, but please bring them back. And just all we'll do is change the date and at the bottom. And we're going to go into the study of the talents, and you can read if you wish. I kind of like it to be fresh, but if you want to, but don't read it and not come. That would not be nice. And so, okay, Chris, thank you very much. People, as I watch the film, thinking of all the young people in the world today that are under the ideal, anything goes, sexually, drugs, whatever, and to see young people that enthusiastic about the Bible, the Word of God, and the Gospel. And, you know, there are things that we could buy, new piece of furniture, something for the yard, and but think about what's happening with these young people and learning about the Gospel, learning about the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So with these things in mind, you're excused. Thank you very much, Chris.